you've had situations where, you know, you think of somebody and then all of a sudden they call you up or they email you, right? That's your super conscious mind communicating beyond you. I think it's connected to, you know, the universe or God or whatever you want to, whatever you believe. Like, I think we have this ability to create.
How do you bridge the gap between where you are today and the story that you're telling yourself?
You got to stay focused on the end result. If you don't focus on the end result, because your subconscious mind will keep reminding, hey, you're not there. You can't do that. And you've got to keep telling the subconscious mind that, yeah, no, I'm there. I'm there. Mentally, I'm there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's Louisa Nicola. I'm a neurophysiologist and human performance coach. I'm the founder of NeuroAthletics, where our mission is to democratize brain health education so you can perform better, think faster, and live longer. Today's episode is all about limiting beliefs and tapping into the subconscious mind. I know many of you will probably be thinking, but hang on, Louisa, this is a science-based podcast. What are you talking about? Lately, I've been tapping into the notion of getting away from the logic and the doing and tapping into more of a visualization perspective of some of the goals I want to achieve. And in saying so and doing so, I wanted to bring Tom McCarthy onto the podcast. Tom is a motivational speaker. Tom discusses the power of setting goals with intention. We talk about the subconscious mind, finding true purpose, the steps that you need to make when visualizing a reality, and finding your motivation to do what you want to create. We all have this notion of wanting to create. And unfortunately, for some of us, we get misaligned with how we can bring what we want to create into reality. Sometimes we find friction, as Tom discusses, as resistance, and we believe that resistance, and that is what stops us from creating the life or reality that we want to live. He also changed my mind on goal setting. Instead of using the word goal, he uses the word results. And that really motivated me and got me excited, because a result is something that has already happened, whereas a goal is something that you want. So if you change just that perspective, goal versus result, you're more than likely to get the result. So I hope you enjoy this episode today. If you haven't done so, please go through and subscribe. I don't care whether it's on Apple. I don't care if it's on Spotify. Go through, subscribe. If you want to see this face, you can subscribe to YouTube. We now have all of these episodes up on the YouTube channel. I'll link that below. Last but not least, if you are a coach, a health coach, and you want to understand the science of human performance so you can become a more valuable coach, then go and have a look at the NeuroAthletics Coaching Certificate. I will also link that below. Without further delay, let's get into today's episode. Tom, welcome to the NeuroExperience Podcast. I'm very excited to have you here. We are going to get into so much. One thing that you and I both share, you wrote the breakthrough code. Growing up, I think if there was one word to define me, it would definitely be, I guess, limitless, or I always believed in what other people deemed impossible. And still to this day, I still think that. I don't think that I never put limits on myself, and I don't know where that came from. So we're going to get into all of that today. But before we do, why don't you give us a brief? You've got a really interesting background. Why don't we start there?
Yeah, I would say that I did believe in limits when I was young, because I had, you know, some things happen that caused me to go into a place of fear, anxiety, things like that. When I was 3 years old, my father was killed in the Vietnam War. He was an army officer, was over there for almost a year, almost ready to come home. And then, you know, we got the news, and I still remember that day when your old brother and I had a little 6 month old brother. And so in the beginning of my life, you know, as far as I can really remember, starting from three on, we had a lot of limits. Like, we didn't have any money. We lived on a little government pension. There were sadness. There was, you know, we looked at other people and they were, you know, had all these things that they were achieving, and our family was just kind of treading water. Now, we had a lot of love, and my mom did the very best she could. She never remarried, but there seemed like there was a lot of limits, and it didn't seem fair. I was pissed off. Like, hey, wait a minute. Why do I have this and other people have that? And I think a lot of people do that in their lives. Why do I have only this and they have that? And, you know, some of it, you know, you're born with, right? I mean, I was not born into a wealthy family where he had lots of things, but I think that actually was a blessing, right? And so I kind of figured out that, you know, maybe there is a way that I could move beyond my circumstances. And that's when I started reading. And I was reading books at a pretty young age that most kids my age weren't reading. And I was reading, you know, I don't, you might not remember these people, but like Dennis Waitley or Wayne Dyer, you know, thought leaders back in the day that were coming up with things that you just didn't hear. You know, I didn't hear in my family. Like I had to go out and seek it. And from there, I started to figure out, wait a minute, like we are not our circumstances. We are not the things that happen to us. We can move beyond that and we can create. And then it just became a huge passion of mine. And I was in a business. I was with a Wall Street firm that was going really well. And then I bumped into a guy, Tony Robbins.
I was going to say, he's the one that I started reading about when I was younger and trying to understand this, you know, breakthrough and limiting beliefs and impossibilities. Yeah.
So I ended up moving out here to help run his company, moving to San Diego in my 20s. And I led sales and marketing for him and learned some more. And then I learned, you know, even more beyond that. I was there for about 3 years with him. He's still a very good friend, very close, but had my own business. I worked with some of the biggest tech companies and financial companies, worked with some Olympic gold medal athletes. That's kind of my sideline. That's not really the main thing I do. I know you do a lot of that, but yeah. And then I just continue to learn. I want to learn more and more about how we can shift reality. So that's my passion.
Okay. So talk to me about shifting reality. What exactly do you mean by shifting reality? And how do you incorporate shifting reality into your work? Like if you were to work with somebody on this specific aspect?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. So I was asked to work with several years ago, an athlete that did a sport that was similar to water skiing, but it was like a hydrofoil, and you know, you could get up off the water and then you didn't have to go over a jump to go high. You could like point the thing down and pop the water and, you know, fly 30 feet in the air and do flips and things. And she was ranked number 2 in the world. I knew nothing about this sport, but you know, her husband actually was a acquaintance of mine. So he called me up and said, can you come? And she was Richard Marriott's daughter. She was from the Marriott family. And so, he said, can you come help out my wife, Sandy? And I'd not met her before. And I said, well, what does she need? She goes, well, she's number 2 in the world in this sport, but she's been struggling in competitions and in people that she normally was beating. She's now not, you know, they're beating her. And so I said, all right, well, I don't know anything about the sport. I can't coach her on that, but I'll go talk with her. And so I went over and met her. Wonderful, wonderful person. But she was really struggling. Her reality was, you know, I was number 2 in the world, but now I'm getting beaten by the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th person. And her reality also was the number 1 person in the world is unbeatable. That was like, she said, the Michael Jordan of their sport. And I said, all right. I said, hey, if you could have anything happen, if you could have anything happen in the world championships that were coming up, it was like 30 days from the time we met, it was going to be the world championships. What would you want? What do you think she said?
To be number 1.
Yeah, she didn't say that. I thought she was going to say that. She didn't say that. She said, what she said is, she said, I want to nail my routine, which that's cool, right? Because this is a sport where you get judged, where maybe a judge didn't like something. Maybe you were the best, but you know, maybe that day the judging was off. So she said, I want to nail my routine. She was practicing this really difficult, intricate routine. And her outcome, her result was to go into that competition and nail it under the pressure of competition. And I said, all right. So that's going to be your new reality. That's going to be what we're going to focus in on. That's the end result. But then I said, because the first thing you got to do is you got to focus, right? And even in my book, I talk about you focus on less, focus on not a million things, but real big breakthroughs you want. And then the second thing you have to do is you've got to upgrade your story. You've got to create a story that allows you to embrace that reality and make it true. And her story up until that time was, you know, when she showed up, you know, she would say, I'm not ready. I'm nervous. Don't call my name. Oh no, I'm in the water. Oh, these judges aren't going to, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in her story, her internal story that were keeping her from being at her best and the reality that she wanted to create. And so she got stuck in this reality of finishing third, fourth, fifth, never being able to beat the number one person. But I said, all right, if you knew you were going to nail your routine, what would you be thinking when you showed up? And she had to step into a new reality and create a new story for it. And so she said, I'd be thinking, I'm ready. And when they call your name, Sandy, what would you be, or as you're waiting for them to call your name even, what would you be thinking? She was thinking, you know, call my name. I'm ready. Let's go. Totally different story, right? You have to create a different story to embrace a new reality. And then I said, all right, when you're in the water and you grab that tow rope and you look at the judges, what would you be thinking? She'd be thinking, you know, you guys are in for a treat. You're going to love this routine. So totally different story. And then I was leaving and she said, wait. I go, what? She goes, this story doesn't feel real. Said, of course it doesn't. You just created it. You've got to drive it into your consciousness, right? It's got to go down into your subconscious mind. We only can create what our subconscious mind says yes to. Consciously, we can say, yeah, I want it. But if we've got a different story embedded down in our subconscious mind, that will win out every single time. And I said, you've got to embed this down in your subconscious mind. When you go to practice, imagine that it's a real competition. Have your coach call your name. You know, Sandy, you're up next. Boom. Go in the water. Look at the boat with only your coach on it, but imagine all these judges there. And just like embed the story deeply by feeling it and seeing it in your subconscious mind. And so she did. And I worked with her maybe one other time. And then she goes into the world championships and she finishes eighth. I'm just kidding. That'd be a terrible story. She actually won the world championship. So she beat this unbeatable person. But not only that, she set the world record for the most points ever scored in the history of that competition. She came back the next year, won again, and then retired. So she created a new reality by not just looking at what most people do to create a reality. They look at, all right, what's everyone else doing? What have I done in the past?
The tangible and then they just try things. To. They look at the tangible.
Yeah, they try to carry it forward. Exactly. Yeah. And I know in your work, you do this too, right? So people need to see, feel, and believe in intangible things. Einstein said, your imagination is the most important thing you've got. He said, your imagination is the preview of coming attractions. We have to imagine new realities in order to bring them into fruition.
I think it was Arthur Schopenhauer that said, that the truth and a lie are similar, or the only difference is the story that you believe. And when I read that, I thought it was quite interesting, because oftentimes one thing that I do with a lot of my clients is when they're anxious about something, I always get them to create for me on paper. I ask them, what's the worst that can happen? And then I ask them to tell me, okay, what's the story you're telling yourself? And then what's the truth? And the truth and the story are just completely two different things. And then when you get them to own up to the truth, or you ask them, okay, well, what's the evidence behind that story? Then they can create a whole new story around their fear and their anxiety. And I guess it's the same as what you're thinking. What I was actually gathering when you were talking, it reminded me of the law of attraction. And I want to know if you believe in that.
I do believe in it to a certain extent, but I also believe you'd have to take action. Part of my book is, you know, you have to take effective action. And it's not like massive action. It's not like you've got to, you know, be going crazy and figuring out a way. I mean, there are times where you have to do that, maybe when you're starting something. But what I also believe in is intuition. And I believe that once you're not just your subconscious mind, but you've got this super conscious mind that kind of lords over everything. I believe it's our connection to information beyond anything that we're holding in our brain or our body. And when that is in tune, you get intuitive nudges that cause you to take an action, cause you to do certain things that you probably wouldn't have done. You know, you've had situations where, you know, you think of somebody and then all of a sudden they call you up or they email you, right? That's your super conscious mind communicating beyond you. I think it's connected to, you know, the universe or God or whatever you want to, whatever you believe. Like, I think we have this ability to create that we're barely scratching the surface. And I like what you said. You know, there's the, you said the difference between a truth and a lie is just the story attached to it. You know, I had a interesting situation happen, and I tell this story a lot in my keynote talks, but my son played basketball in college and he played at Harvard. And I went to his second game of his freshman year, his starting point guard. And they didn't play very well. And, you know, he didn't play that well. They ended up losing by one. But he scored like the last 8 points of the game, but he didn't have a great game. And I was waiting for him to come out. And it was at another school in Boston called Holy Cross, another Division I basketball school. And so I was waiting for him to come out. And all of a sudden, this young lady walks up to me and she said, you know, I just want to tell you, I love your work, right? You know, she said, I want to tell you I'm a big fan. And so I shook her hand. I thought, you know, she's a fan of my son, right? My son's got a fan. He's like, you know, second game of the year. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I said, oh, thank you very much. And then another guy right behind her said, I have to tell you, I love your work. I'm thinking, you know, I've written a couple books. I hadn't written The Breakthrough Code then. This was back in 2015, I think. And I think they're reading my books, as my books were like more presentations and things like that. And I go, well, thank you very much. Then the next person, like people are lining up to come talk to me. And then the next person goes, you're Matt Damon, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not Matt Damon. He goes, right. And I'm like, oh my God, these people think I'm Matt Damon. And so I get up and I run out of the building and maybe look more like Matt Damon. And, you know, I'm outside, it's cold. I'm texting my son, hey, come on outside. He goes, Dad, it's cold, come in. I go, I can't. He says, why? I go, people think I'm Matt Damon. And then, you know, I come out finally and there's some people and they want to take pictures with me. Now I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I took pictures with them. But, and I've gone around the world and I've had people think that, but it's not true. But think about what's happening. There's a story in their head that's causing them to get up out of their seat, come talk to Matt Damon, right? And to them, that's their truth. And my son even found tweets, people taking pictures and tweeting Matt Damon in the gym. And so it wasn't true, but people in their mind saw it as true, and that inspired them to take action on a story that wasn't even true.
So then would you say that looking at some of the most successful people in the world, whether it's athletes, whether it's business, whatever that is, would you say that there is a strong correlation between their success and the stories and beliefs that they hold? Thank you, Inside Tracker, for sponsoring this episode of the show. We talk all the time about optimization, and you can do a whole bunch of things through diet, exercise, and proper sleep. But if you aren't measuring the impact that it has on your body, then you are missing out. Inside Tracker provides you with personalized plans to improve your metabolism, improve your sleep, optimize your health for the long haul. And most importantly, it analyzes your blood and your DNA. So you have to understand where your biomarkers are. For example, ApoB. This is an extremely important biomarker. It's linked to cardiovascular disease. You must know these numbers if you care about living, if you care about living well and living long. So Inside Tracker is an easy way to get these things done. And they also offer tools for professionals. I know that I have a lot of professionals listening to this. I know I've got a lot of coaches listening to this. Inside Tracker Pro is a no-cost platform that allows your clients to share their Inside Tracker analysis with you so that you can tailor their health protocols and training based on their results. Just go to insidetracker.com/Louisa. You can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just use code Louisa20 at checkout.
Yeah, absolutely. And typically when you're creating a story for something we're going to shift reality, it's not going to be true because you're seeing, feeling, and believing in something that is, you have zero evidence other than your, what you put in your imagination that it's true. But that's what, you know, Steve Jobs, when he, this is a later version, obviously, but when he came up with the idea for the iPhone, everything he was thinking about was not true, that you could have music and pictures and internet and apps. That was not true. It wasn't true. He made it true by focusing enough on it and getting enough other people to buy into that story.
So how do you, okay, I get the whole, we can create a story and that's really great. And a lot of people create these stories, I believe, audaciously based around a financial goal. What I think happens though is, how do you bridge the gap between where you are today and the story that you're telling yourself?
The story helps to bridge the gap because there's always a gap between where we are today and where we want to be in the story. There's also usually a gap in, and just, you know, I mean, the end result is going to create a gap. You create a new end result. You got to also embrace where you are right now. You got to know your current reality. Now, I don't think, you know, we don't have to say, oh, I'm stuck here, but just like, here's where I'm at and here's where I want to be. And the difference between those places are going to be decided whether you get there or not by a couple of things. Number one, you've got to stay focused on the end result. If you don't focus on the end result, because your subconscious mind will keep reminding you, hey, you're not there. You can't do that. And you've got to keep telling the subconscious mind that, yeah, no, I'm there. I'm there. Mentally, I'm there. And if it focuses enough on that and the subconscious mind, this is the big thing, Louisa, it's the subconscious mind that's running your life. Your subconscious mind is deciding the results that it's going for, the results it's not going for. Your conscious mind runs maybe 5% and the subconscious mind is 95%. And we've got all our old patterns. We've got our parents' patterns sometimes, you know, in our subconscious mind. We've got, you know, our parents never thought that they could do big things maybe. Parents never thought that you could, you know, you can make a difference in the world or you could be a champion or something like that. So we've got these beliefs, and part of what I used to believe, I'm changing my mind a little bit now, was that you had to figure out every belief that was down in there and you had to recode it. And I've learned some really great techniques on how to do that. But I'm coming to the point now where I'm believing that if you just maintain a strong enough focus on the end result, like really have a great focus on the end result where you can see it, feel it, and believe it, that in itself creates new beliefs. It has to. The subconscious mind has to create new beliefs if it's strong enough in your consciousness.
I completely agree with you. I've actually been delving into that lately with myself and you know, this, you know, I believe that entrepreneurship is the most spiritual path that we can take. It's what I'm feeling right now. And in order for me to keep going down this and keep getting better, and obviously we've got goals as a company, I have to now shift further away from the aspect of action and what we have, the tangible, and move into more of a subconscious belief of where could this be? Because we have such a big mission that's driving the life force of neuroathletics. And in order for me to actually get there, I have to break apart some of the beliefs that I have, because that's over the last 10 years. I know what I know, what we've done, what we've achieved. But in order for me to break past that, I have to start tapping into the subconscious. And now I want to shift and talk about goals, because I know that you speak about goals often, and I actually have a quote, and it was something that I read years ago. One of the books that I used to read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And he said, do not wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand and work with whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along. And I think about this with goal setting, right? And one of the biggest problems that I see that a lot of my clients face is they set huge goals, right? And oftentimes if they feel like they need to achieve, they don't see the gap between where they are and how to get to that goal. So they wake up, and if they don't achieve this huge goal, which maybe they can achieve in the next year or even 6 months, they think that they can achieve it in a week. They don't achieve it. And then they put this, they kill themselves with this, you know, this hope that was just crushed. And so I speak to them about, evidently we've got dopamine that gets released every time you hit a small goal. So goal setting seems to be Something that we've all known, we learned about it, SMART goals, when we were kids, I guess, in school, but we still get stuck.
Yeah, I don't like the word goal. Actually, I don't talk about goal setting. I talk about results, end results. I think, like, you know, if you say the word goal, just say it, and notice how it feels. It's kind of like something out there. Hopefully I'll get it. I'd like it. Be nice. But say the word result. Yeah. What's the connotation you have with that? It's done. It's a result, right? It's not a goal. Like, there's different meaning. A result is something that happened. A goal is something that you want to have happen. Now, so even in my book, I talk about, you know, results, end results. You focus on it, on a result, an end result, and then you see it, feel it, and believe it versus having a goal. And I used to do goals, right? And I would achieve some and I wouldn't achieve others. And even with end results, I mean, I'm not guaranteeing you're going to achieve them, but there's a different feeling in the body and there's a different psychology that we have towards a result. A result is something that happened. A goal is something that might happen, that we want to happen, that we hope we're going to work hard to have happen. And a result is something we're going to work hard to have happen too, but it just has a whole different feeling. So, you know, words have power. They have feelings to them. And so I talk about results. And then, the thing is, if you have a breakthrough result, a breakthrough end result, you're not going to know how to get there. You won't know how to get there. And so thinking you've got a plan to get there is interesting. And you should have some next action steps, obviously. But the reality is, part of what you have to do is focus on it enough that things start coming to you, actions start coming to you, you start to see more clearly. But when you're trying to figure out how to get to here and you're here, there's a big gap. There's a gap in your story. There's a gap in your probably, you know, qualities, abilities, things like that. And so you really need to know where you are, but you need to focus on the end result, and the how will tend to happen. It'll tend to come. You'll come up with ideas. Like, you know, when I have a big end result, I focus on it and I'll wake up and I'll have like an idea. I need to figure this out, or I need to learn this, or I need to call this person, or I need to reach out to so-and-so, or I need to read this book. You know, those things start to come. And I'm not against plans. I think we still create a plan, but we have to know that the way you think you're going to get there is probably not the way you're going to get there. And then the other thing that you have to have is you have to have patience, because like you said, yeah, I want to get there in a week, right? Maybe you can. It's not impossible, but a lot of stuff would have to shift in you subconsciously to get there in a week if it's a really big result. And sometimes that's going to take the average human being, or not the average, even the super, you know, human being. It's going to take a little bit of time to shift that. And so I think number one, if you're going to create something really big, you don't need to know how you're going to get there. And you don't necessarily know how long it's going to take. And we want to be going as quickly as possible, obviously, but have patience.
I think a big part of the listenership is we have coaches who listen to this, who are coaching other people. And we also have wellness and fitness enthusiasts, if you will, athletes. So I'll focus on the coaches, for example. And one thing that we're seeing is that a lot of the coaches who come to NeuroAthletics University is very much, they've got a financial goal. They know who they coach. They know that they're in the nutrition space, the wellness space, their personal training space, whatever that may be. They've got their clientele, but they don't know how to get themselves out of the daily grind of trading time for money. So you could say that maybe they don't see another pathway for them. They don't see this big, audacious breakthrough result. How would you start to work with somebody like that?
Well, I would start to ask, you know, number one, like the big question, what's your end result, right? What's your breakthrough? What's your breakthrough result? And a breakthrough result is a result that is so big that when you do breakthrough and achieve it, like your whole life changes. Like you're at a new level where you can see things you haven't seen before. So it's not just like getting a little bit better. So we typically ask them what is that? And then we figure out the gap between where they are and where they want to be. We have them every day focus on that. And but when I say, and I'm not talking about like every minute of the day, what we're doing, what we're attempting to do is put, you know, a few minutes every day of true focus where you're seeing it, feeling it, believing it, going into your imagination, not working, but going into your imagination and creating a feeling of certainty. That's what opens that trap door where now it goes down into the subconscious mind. And so that's part of your work. And then part of it also is just creating a story, a juicy, rich story of who you are and why this is your new reality, and putting that down in there, which creates new beliefs and things like that. And then the next step is tapping into your intuition, tapping into your superconscious mind, which will start giving you answers and start guiding you in you know, the actions to take. So you do have to take action. But what you can't do is you will have things when you go for something big, you will have things happen that look like these are obstacles that make it impossible for you to achieve it. Everybody does. Everyone that has ever gone big has had obstacles that look insurmountable. The difference between the people that get the end result and the people that don't might not necessarily be, you know, the story that they have is, did they stick to the story when the obstacle came? Because I think just like, you know, when you're trying to build up a muscle, what do? You lift a weight. What is that? That's resistance. When you go for something big, what do you run into? Resistance. Your subconscious mind will even resist it. It'll go, your ego will go, you can't do that. Like, you've never done that before. Who do you think you are? Come on, get back to reality. It wants to keep you safe. You've got to go beyond your own subconscious mind. Right? Your own subconscious mind will try and stop you and tell you it's not realistic and it doesn't want you to get hurt. It doesn't want you to be disappointed. So are you going to stick to this new story, or will you succumb to most obstacles, by the way, are just your subconscious mind trying to keep you safe, trying to keep you in the same place that you've always been because you know it. So, I mean, we think it's these outside things, but it's not really. It's always, almost always the subconscious mind.
Yeah. I find that really fitting with the notion of, if you are trying to be a different person to create a new life for yourself and ergo a new result, then you have to start acting like that person, because that involves a complete identity shift.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
that's true.
It's also about, like, who are you, you know, who do you hang around each day? And are these people conducive of the person that you want to be? And sometimes you get into resistance. For example, you may get lonely because you don't have people or the circles that you're trying to be around. And that is resistance. So then you end up back with those people who may not be the best type of people for you or the best type of environment to be in. And so it reminds me of the exact same process that you're taking there. You've got to keep pushing past the resistance, and the resistance then again is the thought. I actually agree. Things do come to you. For example, we have, you know, like I mentioned with New Athletics University, we want 2,000 people to do our course by the end of this year. And that's an audacious goal for me. But I've been thinking about it, and so many more things are popping into my head, because I honestly, the way I used to operate, which is when I said to you there was no possibilities, I used to operate as if there was, like, gun to head. Louise, if we have to get 2,000 people in this course by the end of this year, what would you do? And then it puts you into this mode of, okay, and you think new things start to open up. Whereas if I had just said, oh, it might be nice to have 2,000 people. Whereas if I say 2,000 people, end of 2024, it's two completely different perspectives. Thank you to Apollo Neuro for sponsoring this episode. The Apollo is a therapeutic wearable designed to be worn discreetly on the wrist or ankle that works by sending gentle vibrations to the body that signal safety to the brain. It is a safe, non-invasive way to relax, get the sleep you need, focus your attention, and find your flow. I have been wearing this certain device for about 1 year. I originally got it because I really needed to downregulate my nervous system. Yes, as you can tell, I'm very high energy, very high paced. I really wanted a way to hack my system other than meditation, breath work, or even sleep per se. I really wanted to be in the driver's seat. To be honest, guys, I'm not the best meditator, which is why this device works so well. So with the soothing vibrations, Apollo directly engages with my body's nervous system, and these vibrations help to naturally regulate stress responses and promote a state of calm, enhancing my ability to manage daily stresses without reliance on pharmaceutical aids. So if you want to be in the driver's seat, if you meditate and do breath work to calm your nervous system down, and you don't want to do that alone because you know that that alone is not as powerful as a device like Apollo, you can grab one of these. You can get $40 off any of the Apollo wearable devices by visiting the link in the description below or simply going to apolloneuro.com and use code NEURO40. That is apolloneuro.com with code NEURO40 to receive $40 off.
Yeah, part of my day is spent on tapping into my intuition. So, you know, I meditate, I do different things like that, but also I spend time getting very quiet and then calling on my super conscious part of my mind, right, to give me answers to, you know, and I can test things and I'm able to get answers, and anyone can. You just have to train yourself to do that. But I think a lot of us actually get answers. Like I had this ability as a kid. You can't be like really active, and you've got to quiet your mind a little bit, and you get into a nice place of kind of like innocence. And then you can ask a question. And then I would typically get like this little surge of energy, like this little pop in my diaphragm, if it were a yes. And then, or I could even say percentage wise, you know, like, is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, is it, you know, how effective will this move be? And I could, you know, go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then pop, I get a pop on one of them. So I had that ability as a young person, but then I kind of, I didn't use it as much, you know, for a while. And now I really use it a lot. I really develop it. I check in with my intuition, which is my super conscious mind that has information beyond what's in my brain, right? Even when I was writing my book, The Breakthrough Code, like, it became a bestseller, did really, really well. It's got great reviews on Amazon, like 4.8, you know, with a few hundred reviews. But I didn't write that book from my conscious mind and the things I knew. I said, hey, come on, let's go. Bring it in. And just things came through me. And then I had a great editor that I don't even know how I connected with her, but I found her and she did a wonderful job. And then I had, a team helping me. So there's so many things beyond me that got me to that point. And that's what happens when you have a great end result and you really tap into your superconscious.
Does this work across the board for every industry, whether you're working with an Olympic gold medalist, a CEO at a Fortune 500 company, a gardener?
Yeah, yes. I mean, if they have big results that they want to achieve, it absolutely works. I mean, if someone's just trying to get through the day, it's probably not that interesting to them, because I'm talking about really shaping reality. And then, you know, I told you the quote that I have, the average person is just going to conform to reality. They're going to, what I have to do to fit in, you know, how many hours do I have to work today? What's the minimum that I can do? And greatness creates a whole new reality. Now, to be great though, I'm not saying that you've got to outwork people by, 3 to 1 or whatever. I don't necessarily believe in that. I think, and there may be some areas where you need to, or maybe at the beginning of starting a company, you've got to work really, really hard, but I'm not into that. I'm into the fact that effort, how hard you work, is multiplied by how effective that effort is. And that equals your results. So if you and I do have the same result, and we have the same talents and the same networks and all the same stuff, but you are twice as effective in the actions you take, like you're doing actions that really move the needle, and I'm kind of doing some of that, but I'm doing some stuff I just like that really doesn't make a big difference. You're gonna be more effective than me, and we have the same talent level.
But that's the same as consciously scrolling for dopamine hits on Instagram, mindlessly scrolling, whereas you could be completely ridding yourself of social media and just focusing on your day-to-day work and focusing on the present moment. And I think that that's the biggest thing that is also in line with what you just said. You can scroll social media. You can just go through these, like these tiny little dopamine hits, or you could get off social media completely and focus on your one goal and figure out how can I get there? Because your mind only has, if you actually look at the human brain and you think about energy, it requires so much energy. 20% of the entire caloric intake that we take per day is taken up by the brain. So the brain requires so much energy to perform. If you give your energy to Instagram scrolling or social mindless Instagramming, you take away from the energy to produce the results to get towards your results.
Yeah. So I have a couple ideas on that. So I have like four quadrants that I created. And so imagine like a box with four quadrants, and then the bottom level, we're measuring impact on results. And so, you know, if you start on, might be your right, but my left would be right here. Low impact, right? And then you have high impact. And then you have this axis, the y-axis, which is likability. Then you've got on the bottom, I don't like it, low likability, and then high likability. So you have some things in that bottom left quadrant that you don't like, and they don't really move the needle. Yeah, do as few of those as you can. But some of those are like filling your car up with gas. Like, come on, I don't want to fill my car. We have electric cars now, right? So we have Teslas, so we just pop it in when we, you know, it's in the garage. Taking clothes to the dry cleaners, you know, we don't want to do that. So we've got a service that picks it up. Not that I use that much dry cleaning anymore, but there's things you can do like that. Then the upper left is things you like that don't move the needle. And I put like this would be red, this would be yellow. So for me, some things I like that don't move the needle. I do like to check ESPN every now and then, especially now there's like March Madness, like what's the scores. But if I do that all the time, and I also like to read the Wall Street Journal. But if I do that all the time, right, it's not good because it's not really making me better. It's fun. So I think, you know, if people are scrolling, do they have to cut it down to zero? Eh, just do a little bit of it. But just know that's your candy, right? You can't eat candy all day. And then there's things that you like that really move the needle, up or right-hand quadrant, load up on those. But then the real place that I think there's huge value are the things you don't like that really move the needle. And you either need to get someone really good to do those, but some things you need to do. Like when I was writing my book, I would send what I wrote to the editor. She would make some changes, some suggestions. She'd send it back. I'm not a detail-oriented person. I'm like, oh, crap. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go over it again, right? I just already wrote it. And then I would resist. And then I said, all right, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to do it. And I got in there and I saw her suggestions and it triggered ideas in me because it's a parable, right? It's a story. And it got better. And I actually liked it when I dove back in, even though I didn't think I liked it. Meditation. You know, we talk about there's two types of actions. There's achievement actions, you know, the for your, you know, athletes, it's a training, the stuff like that. For people in business, it's emails, it's meetings, it's calls, writing letters, all those types of things. So those are achievement actions, but then there's also recovery actions. You know, it's very important for athletes to recover. And those actions are just as important. Like, and so one of the things for me is meditation. I didn't used to like it. I'm like, I don't have time to meditate.
Yeah, I'm not a meditator. Now,
But I'll be in, you know, I've already meditated today, but again, I'll do another meditation in one of these chairs in my office here later today. And I love it. I didn't used to like it. I love it. Right.
So what is the, okay, then if you, meditation is sometimes something that not a lot of people partake in. I feel like a lot of people have a different view on it. So how do you view meditation? Is it more so as well about visualization? It's not so you're sitting there and you've got your fingertips together. I don't know, your legs are crossed and you've got that, you know, that spiritual sense to it. Like, what are you doing meditation for and how do you conduct your meditations?
Well, there's a recovery meditation and then there's more of an achievement meditation. And achievement meditation is where you're getting into a very relaxed state, getting your brain waves down into an alpha, theta state. And you are using your imagination. I don't even call it visualizing because I want you to imagine it. Like something I can't visualize. Well, just imagine. And even if they talk to themselves that way, I'm imagining that, you know, if it's an athlete, imagining that, you know, I'm on the field and the ball comes to me and I make the perfect play. And, you know, so you can imagine it. But the important thing with your imagination are two things. The subconscious mind does not respond to just talk. It's seeing and feeling. You don't have to have super clear images, but seeing and feeling. Those are the most important things that you need to be able to. So see it, feel it, believe it. And belief is just a feeling of certainty. So that's really important. So there are those meditations that I do that. I do that every day. I do that typically when I wake up in the morning, do it when I go to bed. And then I also do it when I notice like maybe a thought is coming into my mind that is bringing me back into my, you know, old patterns. And I'm like, bam, I'll just immediately like see where I'm at. And then I see this future state, this end result, and I feel that intensely. And then it creates like the path of from where I'm at to the tension that will take me to where I want to go. But then also I just got this thing that somebody sent me called a Roxiva, which is this machine which has lights and sound. And that was more, I did like a theta meditation. You know, that was just relaxation. It was almost like a psychedelic experience. And, you know, so I also do just relax too.
That makes so much sense. The whole time you were just thinking then, it's just clicked for me. Your subconscious is what breeds your results and your reality.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In order to tap into the subconscious, you need to see and feel it. And it reminded me of, this is a bit of a personal story, so I won't go into too much detail, but if I envision the perfect partner or whoever I want to be with, for some reason in my past, I've ended up with that person. You know how you hear a lot of people, I hear women, I don't know, I haven't really heard any man say this, but maybe they do say this as well. A lot of my girlfriends say, you know, I attracted my partner, I envisioned him, and this is who I wanted to be with. And I used to think, oh, come on now, like, of course, like, but no, it's actually true. And going into those meditations of seeing and believing, then I guess you just wake up and you start, if you run into that person and they make you feel whatever you felt during that meditation, then that's the person you might gravitate towards.
Right. Because you've got, so you will only be able to do what your subconscious mind says yes to. And even if something good happens that like you win the lottery, most people that win the lottery, their subconscious isn't ready for it. And they end up within a couple of years not having that money. The house that we lived in right before this one, same neighborhood, not too far away, we bought from an investor that had bought it from a family that had won millions and millions of dollars in the lottery. And they bought this nice house and then they started a business and they expanded that business and they went bankrupt. And, you know, their subconscious mind was not in a place to handle this good thing that had happened to them. And so they literally millions, like many, many millions of dollars gone within, you know, 2-3 years. And it happens. Pro athletes, many pro athletes make, you know, a ton of money and they retire early and they end up not, it's changing now because, you know, the leagues are actually having agents and people help them with their finances. And what they're really helping them with is raise their level of belief systems, right? Raise what their subconscious is allowing them to be. Otherwise, it's gone. And I'm talking about people that made $100 million, like gone. Like, you know, how can you spend that much money in a few years?
That's like Mike Tyson, 30 mil for one fight, and didn't he just gamble it all away? Yeah.
Yeah. So but when you say you put it in your subconscious mind, the perfect partner, you imagine that. What happens is you now have this super conscious mind that goes out into the ethers, just like you're in New York, I'm in San Diego, and there's a signal coming from you to me that we can both see. We have that ability to do that too, to go out and send out signals, right? We're just energy. Like all we are is energy. And because we're energy, we can connect with other human beings and we can make things happen. We can draw the right people in, or we can notice the right people in the right situation. I met my wife, you know, just randomly, actually at a party at Tony Robbins' house when I was very, very young, in my 20s. And never wasn't even going there to do that, right? You know, and but we've been married 32 years now. So yeah, that's the way it works. Now, it's hard for people to believe because, again, you can't see it, touch it, feel it. There's been a lot of research, though, on stuff like this, the power of intention. You know, even University of Arizona would have somebody in one place focusing on a certain plant and sending thoughts, loving, caring thoughts, and that plant would thrive. And then, you know, the plant that got no thoughts, yeah, would you know, not thrive. Yeah, so there's all sorts of research on it. But human beings have a hard time accepting what they can't touch and feel and see with their eyes.
That's especially apparent in my field, the medical and science field. And I actually don't know how the audience is going to react to this, you know, this episode, because a lot of the episodes are definitely focused on science, the rigorous science. Like, can we back this up with human randomized control trials? But for me, I'm starting to move further into the subconscious. And because I've been working for a certain amount of time doing the one thing. So I thought, okay, how can I break through? I have to do something different. You have to do something different. So I welcome this thought and I hope everyone else that's listening does too. I'm so excited to learn more about you. So where can we learn? Do you have anything else other than the book? Like, do you have courses? Do you speak somewhere?
Yeah, I speak a lot, but it's mainly for big companies and their big conferences and things like that. But I've got a couple websites. One is TomMcCarthy.com and the other one is The Breakthrough Code. And actually, if they buy the book, The Breakthrough Code, and you just buy it on Amazon, there is a link in the book where I do have a course. I've got a masterclass and they get the first four videos for that free. And so, they don't have to pay anything. The book is like $20 or something like that. It's actually on Audible too. Yeah. And then we have courses, but they're more, for like Microsoft and Salesforce and things like that we teach. I've got facilitators. We do a lot of leadership. We do a lot of speaking. And then I do a lot of keynotes and around performance. We will have courses coming. I've got some big businesses that, you know, that I have, but I haven't really gone out to the masses until The Breakthrough Code. Last time I was going out to the masses was when I was helping to run Tony Robbins' company. And then I got away from that. And we had these big billion-dollar clients that spent a lot of money with us. And then my new path, though, which I do really like a lot is, I have a podcast. Yeah, I have a podcast called The Breakthrough Code. And so that's on Apple and Spotify and then also on YouTube. So those are some places that you can find me. And by the way, I believe in science too. So I did something called the Global Energy Healing Summit, where I had all these medical doctors and energy healers and Joe Dispenza's PhD that does all the research on his stuff, where they're really quantifying, like when you meditate, like your body changes, and not just meditate, but when you visualize what you want, envision what you want. So I had like 190,000 people go through that. So I'm in that space also. But that to me is kind of like, I don't say a hobby, but it's a passion, but it's not a big thing I'm doing. We ran three summits and we had 190,000 people. I had Tony Robbins on it because he had the book Life Force come out. So I do have a passion for that too.
Well, I'm so excited. We're going to link your book, The Breakthrough Code, and other places for people to get in contact with you. So Tom, thank you so much for being part of the Neuro Experience podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Louisa. You're doing a wonderful job and you will get those 2,000 people. I see it, I feel it, I believe it.
I will definitely be sending you a message at the end of the year. If I get more than that, I'm coming after you for you to be my private coach.
Let's go, I love it, great job, Louisa.